This is Doug Miller. We are looking at what, in my estimation, is one of the most important passages in the entire Bible. So stick around and let's talk about it.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more with the Bible in hand, ready to talk, to teach, to speak into this microphone with the sure and certain knowledge that God will always honor His Word and that this Word is going out and is being listened to by many, some to salvation and some to condemnation. And I say that because if you sit here and listen to this and walk away and just say, well, it doesn't matter, just another one of those crazy radio preachers, this is the very word that will stand up against you in the coming day of judgment to condemnation. So I pray you will listen and that you will act on this and that you will be saved. And why not call a friend and tell them to listen in as well? Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. We need to get it out there. We need to get it out as far as we can get it out, to as many as we can get it out to, because, friends, we're running out of time. If you can look at this world and not tell that we're starting to come apart at the seams, if you can't see that, you are blind indeed and willfully blind. And this idea that, oh, well, we're in a mess, but we'll get out of it. We've always gotten out of it before. Yes. Well, the book is very clear on that. We are going to get into a mess that there's no getting out of unless God intervenes. And I think that's exactly what we're looking at. So you need to listen once again and pay close attention. Now, I always say this, so here it comes again. We would love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. And if you didn't get that, why, just keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you say, well, why should I take the trouble to sit down and write? Well, no good reason, perhaps, except we'd love to hear from you. I always say this, and, well, I don't always say it, but I like to say it from time to time. We don't put your name on a mailing list. We don't come back at you and ask you for money. That's not how we do it on Dialogue. We've never done it that way. We're never going to do it that way. We will go off the air first. When God ceases to provide the means to keep this broadcast going, we'll quit broadcasting, assuming that it's His will that we not broadcast anymore. But we're not going to come back and beg for money or harass you in any way. We'd love to hear from you. However, to answer any questions you have, to provide any materials you might need, and just to know that you're out there and listening. So once again, write to us. If you wish to email us, that's fine, too. It's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. That's for those of you who are technologically skilled and who don't like to write with pen and paper. If you wish to pull up our webpage, and it's out there all over the world, and that is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. .org, not .com. If you put .com, you won't get us. You'll get some other outfit. So pull up our webpage, take a look, and you can pull down the broadcasts which are on there and listen to them, and it's free and so on and so forth. If you wish to call and talk to me or talk to someone at Dialogue, Our phone number is 405-535-9089. Okay? 405-535-9089. Now, we don't have a secretary on duty. We don't have a large staff here, and we're not going to have. That costs money, and we need to put what money we have back into these broadcasts. So what you'll get is a recording. You leave a message, and I'll get back with you when I get the time. Obviously, I'm not that rushed about this, and if that's offensive to you, well, please, I do not be offended. All right. 15th chapter of Acts. We are into what I think, once again, is one of the most important passages in the entire Bible. Now you listen to me and you listen carefully. The world is full of people right now who are confused about salvation. If you ask most people out there in this country anyway, are you a Christian? They will say that they are. If you ask them, how did you get saved? If you're saved, how did you get saved? How is it that God dealt with you? How did you first find out that you were lost? And if you found out that you were lost, how did you get saved? Ah, now you will begin to get all kinds of answers. Not, yes, I'm a Christian, but, or another one. How do you plan to get to heaven? And once again, you will get every kind of answer that you can imagine. And most of the answers that you will get will have something to do with living a good life. Now, you may have heard me say this on here before, but here it comes again. Before I was saved, I genuinely believed that somehow there was a big scale set up. I don't know if I believed it was literal, but, you know, somewhere there was something like a big scale, and some, you know, God would weigh your good deeds against your bad ones. And that's right out of the Egyptian Book of the Dead. You know, that's what they believed. And I figured that, you know, if your good deeds outweighed your bad ones, God would take you into heaven. This is utter nonsense. It is absolute trash. Now, before we look at Acts 15, beginning with verse 7, I want to direct your attention back to the 5th chapter of Matthew. You know, most of the people who are out here right now who call themselves Christian, most of the preachers, I believe, who are out here in Christendom, spend much of their time teaching and preaching out of the four Gospels. That's where they spend, and particularly, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a little bit of John here and there when they want to talk about the love of God. But mainly, they are interested in the earthly Jesus who walked the dusty roads of Galilee and who taught people to love one another. And this is what everyone out there, not everyone, but so many of them major on. Well, he did teach this. But I want to tell you something. That earthly Jesus said that he came for Israel. He came in order to call Israel to repentance. He said in more than one place that he did not come for the Gentiles. If you don't believe that, you just look at this book more closely. He was very clear about it. But he was, as you all know, rejected by Israel. They couldn't wait to get rid of him. And they couldn't wait to get him out of town. And they crucified him. Now, those of us who are living today, Jew or Gentile, I don't care who you are, we are not living in that old dispensation. Things have changed, and they have changed markedly. The Lord Jesus died. He was buried. He was raised up from the dead, and he ascended back to heaven, leading captivity captive, giving gifts to men. He entered that high and holy and lofty place with his own blood. And he is now our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, seated there and interceding for us. And we have a different dispensation that we are living in and living through. And those of us who are Gentiles were never under the law anyway. We didn't know anything about it, didn't know anything about God. And out to us came this man, Paul, preaching a gospel that would never and could never have been preached while Jesus was alive on this earth. Why? Because the gospel Paul preached and the gospel this guy on this radio station right here is preaching and the gospel that is being preached by anyone out here who knows what he or she is doing is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And salvation comes through believing the gospel, not through believing the gospel and getting busy and working, not through believing the gospel and putting yourself back under the law and trying to live by the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount, not by that, but by believing the gospel. If you say, well, Miller, I know what you are. You're one of those fundamentalists who, you think you know everything and no one else. Oh, get the hints. I get so sick of hearing that. Look at the 5th chapter of Matthew. For all of you out there who believe that you are being saved, that God will let you into heaven because you have kept the Ten Commandments or kept the law. I want you to look at this. I am going to begin reading in the 5th chapter of Matthew at verse 17 where the Lord Jesus says, now this is Jesus talking, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now that word jot is the word iota in the Greek. Iota is the little letter I. It's the smallest letter in the Greek alphabet. We get our word iota from it. You'll hear people say, not one iota. Well, this is where it comes from. Not one iota. Not one tittle. The tittle wasn't even a letter. It was a diacritical marking that was indicative of how a word was to be pronounced. Even the punctuation. It will not pass in any wise till all be fulfilled. Well, now let's push on here. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. All right, is that not as clear as God could make it? This is Jesus talking. Now, for all of you who are listening to me, you may be saying, well, Miller, you're destroying your whole case there. You're saying that we are not under the law. What does this say? Does this say we're not under the law? Jesus said, until heaven and earth pass away. Yeah, that's what he said, all right. And I am here to tell you that the law has not gone anywhere. It is here, and it is going to be here until heaven and earth pass away. It is eternally there, not eternally, let me correct that, but until heaven and earth pass away. This is God's word, it is God's law, and it is the measurement of righteousness and justice. And you want to get to heaven by working? Get busy and strap the law on yourself and see how far it'll get you. I don't care who you are who are listening to me, you have not kept this law. You have not kept it for one single solitary day. And if you believe you have, you go back and read it. Well, you say, I never murdered anyone. Come on. I said go back and read it. It's a lot more than Ten Commandments. It is a lengthy law. And the law never made anyone righteous. Did you hear that? It never made anyone righteous. You know, Martin Luther said this Bible is like a mirror. He said, if a fool looks into it, you can't expect an angel to look back out. I heard a man say the other day, the law is just like a mirror. You can look at the law, and it will tell you what kind of human you are, but it gives you no power to change yourself. It merely reflects back to you what you are. Well, you read that law, and then you tell me what you are. But you don't have to tell me. I know what you are because I know what I am. You are lost, lost, lost if you are trying to get to heaven by keeping this law. And yet there it is. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still out there. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel secure? You think God's going to sweep this under the carpet somehow? Well, all right, now with these cheery words ringing in your ears, let me ask you this question. This is the Sermon on the Mount, which begins back in Matthew 5 with this word. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, what disciples? If you back up into Matthew 4, you're going to find the calling of some of these disciples. Not all of them are mentioned. But certainly in Matthew 4:18, we have Simon, Peter, and Andrew being called. A little farther down in Matthew 4:21, we have James and John being called. There were at least these four who were with him, I have every reason to believe, on the mount when he taught on the Sermon on the Mount and said what we just heard him say. Everyone. Anyone who shall break the least of these commandments and teach them to do so shall be called the least in the kingdom. If you are breaking these and teaching men to do so. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to Matthew 15 and look at verse 7 and see the remarkable statement that we have from Simon Peter. Now, what do we have here? Let me set the stage for you again. And I can tell you right now that we are rapidly running out of time and we will never even begin to scrape the surface of this today. And you're going to have to just write down something on your little list and come back next time and listen to us. But for right now, let me just set the stage for this. Remember that Paul and Barnabas had gone out preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and to the Jews in the diaspora. The gospel they were preaching is the gospel that Paul records in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Once again, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and salvation through believing the gospel, not through keeping the law. In fact, in Acts 13, verse 35, Paul in the synagogue at Pisidia said this, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that is Jesus, "his death, burial, and resurrection is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now what's going on here anyway? Jesus said the law is still around. He said if you're teaching men that, you know, not to do these things, that you're the least in the kingdom and so on and so forth. But I want you to notice that Jesus didn't say anything like that or send anyone out among the Gentiles in this dispensation we are in to say anything like that. I'm not talking about the kingdom of heaven here. I'm talking about being saved and going to heaven and being eternally in the presence of Almighty God forever and ever and ever. Now, Paul just said to those Jews in Pisidia, and we just read it, this believing in Jesus, believing this gospel, justifies men from all things from which they couldn't have been justified by the law of Moses. Once again, If you think that you are going to be declared righteous by keeping the law, you'd better guess again, because you haven't kept it, and all the law can do will condemn you. Now, in Acts 15, we saw this last time. Paul and Barnabas have come back from preaching the gospel to Gentiles out here. They have been followed by the Judaizers who are out there teaching in their wake, yes, Jesus is the Christ. Yes, Jesus is the Messiah. Yes, you should believe this. But if you wish to be saved, you're going to have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And Paul and Barnabas, as we saw the last time, went up to Jerusalem to settle this thing, to put this before the apostles at Jerusalem. Peter, Andrew, James, John, some of these very men who were on the mount where Jesus preached the so-called Sermon on the Mount. Some of the very men who sat there and heard him say what we just read about keeping the law and teaching men to keep it and so on and so forth. And here they are. Now, why did they go up to Jerusalem? They went up there because the Judaizers, those who were following Paul and Barnabas around and saying that Paul and Barnabas were getting it wrong, these men were saying things, and I can tell you right now, this is what they were saying. Look, these guys, Paul and Barnabas, they're out of that Gentile assembly up in Antioch. That's where they've come out of, and they're renegades. We are from the mother assembly in Jerusalem, where Peter and James and John and Andrew, and just go down the list, Matthew. That's where we're from, and we know the truth. And what Paul and Barnabas are teaching you is wrong, and it is false. This is why Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem, and they put the case before the apostles in Jerusalem, and look at what we've got. There was much disputing in verse 7 of Acts 15. And Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, Peter has used two very important words here, Gentiles and gospel. And this is something that not one of these Jews, including Peter, could have imagined would have happened just a short time before. In fact, remember when we were in the 10th chapter of Acts, how we saw Peter dragged kicking and screaming, as it were almost, down to Cornelius' household to tell them that Jesus died and was buried and rose again and that salvation could be had through believing this and through him and him alone. Now here we have Peter again. God made choice that through me these Gentiles should hear the gospel. Well, unfortunately, that's all we'll have time for. You come back next time and hear the rest of this. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.